You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the 117th Psalm. That's where I'll be this evening, the 117th Psalm. I got a new Bible last week and I'm getting familiar with it, amen? Nothing wrong with that. 117th Psalm, and I know I said I wasn't going to be long-winded this evening, but I am going to read the entire chapter. I think this is dying, actually. It's blanking now. God must not want anybody online to hear what I got to say tonight, so. You want me to just go ahead and take it off? Okay, no problem. All right. Yeah, we're going to read the entire chapter, so y'all bear through it with me. The 117th Psalm, I do love this passage of Scripture, and we're going to read it together, and I'm going to preach what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart and how He's used this Scripture to encourage me. I love the Psalms, amen. I was talking with Brother Rice before the service, and he was talking about a church up in Ohio, and they had a meeting, and they had some fellow involved with music, and throughout the week, he was telling the backstories of those hymns. I like to read the books about the old hymn writers and the stories and the things that inspired those hymns. And I'm telling you, you want to talk about a sad story, you can go home and watch Old Yeller, but you read the backstories to some of those hymns, and there's some sad, heart-wrenching things that took place, some real trials that people went through, that God brought them through, and God gave them those songs, and they wrote them down, and I believe the Psalms are no different, but these Psalms, these are God-breathed, amen? We got 150 of them right here in front of us, and David, he was nicknamed the Sweet Psalmist of Israel. He's the author of over half of them. What we find is, when we come to the Psalms, we find the National Hymn Book of Israel. That's what we find. These are their hymns. These are their stories. These are their songs. And these are God-breathed by the Holy Ghost, inspired. If they weren't, they wouldn't be in this book right here. Amen? And this 117th Psalm, though it be short, I believe it's important. Amen? And I like what it says. If you'll look with me right there, the Bible says in the 117th Psalm in verse number 1, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. And I like this passage of Scripture. And I like how the psalmist, like I said, though it be simple, though it be short, his heart is poured out in praise to God. And when I look at this Scripture, I see something that exalts the Lord. I see something that lifts up God. The Bible says, I tell you, one of the key factors in having a good church is lifting up Jesus. Amen. The Bible said that Jesus told His disciples, He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. Tonight here at Crossroads Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about anybody in this room, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It always should be, and it always will be, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the psalmist here, he pours out his heart as he talks about the goodness of God and the character of God. And what we find as I look in this passage of Scripture, and like I said, I'll be quick, I'll preach fast, so you listen fast, but I see three things about the Lord in this 117th Psalm that just joy, that make my heart joyful, that make me want to do what the psalmist says and praise the Lord myself right here in this passage of Scripture. The first thing that I see that he mentions is His tenderness. It says, "Oh, I like what it says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people." If the Word of God commands that right there, then that must mean that God is worthy of all nations' praises, that He's worthy of all people's praises. Amen. Black, yellow, brown, and white, they're all precious in God's sight. Amen. It doesn't matter tonight what your pedigree is. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor, the color of your skin. It does not matter. The only thing that matters is that you have a soul that God is seeking to save. Amen. I was talking to the lady right here in the back as before the church service began, and I was talking about how I was overjoyed that I would come in and see across this wall the missionaries who are supported by prayer and by other means, and this map of the world with above it the words of the Lord inscribed, "Go ye into all the world." Hey, that's what church is all about, amen? That's what church is all about, is spreading the gospel. It's fulfilling the Great Commission. It's doing what we can to reach those that are lost and on their way to hell. You know, there are churches 10 times the size of this church that aren't doing anything like that tonight. And I'm telling you, God sees that. I was talking to her right before church started. That right there is going to grab God's attention. That right there is going to get a hold of God. If you keep seeking to please God and keep seeking to help these missionaries out and do what you can to spread the gospel to the far reaches of the world, hey, God is going to take notice, amen, and God is going to bless that. But it says, all ye nations praise him, all ye people. And in verse number 2, the Bible says this. It says, for his merciful kindness. His merciful kindness. And it's interesting, if you study your Bible and you study the Old Testament and the Hebrew writers and what they're writing in these Psalms, that word, what they say, merciful kindness, it's what they call a Hebraism. A Hebraism. And oftentimes they're used in a real good way, or they're used in a real bad way. Anytime you see a word that is an adjective, but it's also used with another adjective to describe it, like loving kindness, or tender mercies, or merciful kindness, as we see right here in the 117th Psalm. God is really emphasizing something. God is really saying something, and the psalmist is saying right here, hey, we have a God who is tender, who is compassionate, who is loving. And when I look at the scripture, I want to praise the Lord because of his tenderness, amen? It says merciful kindness. Now you go into the Psalms, you can read the imprecatory Psalms of David, and you can read in the books of the Kings, and you can read in the Chronicles, and you can see other Hebraisms like blood guiltiness, or that's to say guiltiness, or blood bloodiness, and you see these things, and God, when he uses these Hebraisms in the Word of God, what he's saying is, hey, I'm trying to get my point across, amen? And the psalmist, he's getting his point across about God. He's saying God is tender. Amen. The definition of that very word, tenderness, means he is easily moved to sympathy or compassion. And I like to, when I think of that, I think of this. When I think of something that is easily moved with compassion. And I feel this way somewhat toward my cousin. I got a little cousin. He's 7 years old. His name's Johnny. He's been saved, and he does his best to hand out tracts, and he does his best to serve God, and he can be a little bit rotten sometimes, but I just love him so much, you know, because he's my cousin. I probably love him more than any other 7-year-old in the world, just because he's my cousin, you know. And I'm sure you guys in here, you have kids, or you raise kids, or maybe you have grandkids, and they're special to you, and you wouldn't be scared to tell people that they're more special to you than anybody else's kids are, right? And you're going to be merciful, and you're going to be a little bit kinder and a little bit more tender than you are with they. And like I mentioned a minute ago with that definition, easily moved with sympathy or compassion, when they come up to you and they would say, we were talking about the papaw and the pawpaw debate here with Kentucky and West Virginia earlier before Sunday school this morning, but they might come up to you and say, pawpaw or mama or papaw or mommy or daddy or mom or dad, I love you. And it just melts your heart, and you're just moved with compassion, and it does it in a special way. You know why? Because they're yours. Because they're yours. And as a child of God, I believe that that tender mercy and that grace is accessible by those that are his. Amen? He says the tenderness of God. We read about the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter number 10, and I'm going to read the scripture. It says right here in Luke 10, it says, "And by chance there came down a certain priest by the way. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, had compassion on him and went down and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him." That's the kind of compassion. That is the kind of what the Bible, what the psalmist says, merciful kindness that we're talking about here. I'm glad that there was a day, August the 4th, 2002, when there was a God who saw me half dead, hopeless, without anywhere to go, without anywhere to turn.
I couldn't do anything to help myself. I couldn't do anything to get to God or on my own. I couldn't do anything in and of my flesh to earn the goodness and the grace of God. But I'm glad that He had compassion on me. I'm glad that He showed me tenderness. I'm glad that He showed me mercy. And hey, since I've been a Christian, and I might not be the most spiritual person in here this evening, but I mess up every once in a while. I go so far as to say I mess up. I mess up and I do things that offend God every single day. I'm talking on a daily basis. I find myself in a place where I need to repent. And I'm glad that in those moments that God is merciful and that God is kind and that His tender, compassionate mercies are there for us. Amen. The Bible says in the two Psalms later, in the 119th Psalm, now I'm not going to read that whole chapter, amen, but it says in verse number 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations," amen. I'm glad that the tenderness of God is forever, amen. Now, I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but I do want to read in the Scripture. We've seen that we can praise God, that the psalmist is praising God because of His tenderness. Amen. But what else do we see in the passage of Scripture? "For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Not only for His tenderness we ought to praise Him, but for His truthfulness. Amen. I'm sure that each and every single person in this room tonight, at some time or another, has been let down by somebody you trusted. Whether it was a family figure, whether it was a teacher, whether it was a mentor or a coach or whatever, what have you. Somebody that you really put your trust in has let you down at some time or another. And you know why? It's because we're all human. You know what the very middle verse in the entire Bible is? It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than in man." And you can trust the preacher or the pastor, and you can trust the deacons, and you can trust the people in the church, but hey, we can let each other down because we're human. And sooner or later, you make enough promises to one another, you tell each other enough things, you're going to let each other down. That's just how it is. That's how it is in churches. That's how it is in a family, with a church family. Amen? But God, we never got to worry about His truthfulness. We never got to worry about Him letting us down. Amen? The Bible says in John chapter number 1, that's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. There is so much preaching in John chapter number 1. And the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And verse number 14 says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And I love the phrase that it finishes with right there. It says, "Full of grace and truth." The Word itself was made flesh. It was manifest unto us. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, He came to this earth in the likeness of man. He took upon Him the form of a servant. He was born in the same kind of flesh that we got right here. Amen. But the blood that coursed through His veins was not the sin-cursed blood of Adam. It was the blood of God. Amen. If it had been blood just like yours and mine, then Calvary would have been of no avail. But I'm glad tonight that it was the perfect virgin-born Son of God that suffered and died on Calvary, so it means something in the sight of God the Father when He would take my place. Amen. But the Bible says that He was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm glad that when I turn through the pages of Scripture and I can find Jesus on every page, it's full of grace and truth. Amen. I'm glad the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Amen. I don't see how people can make it believing that their works are going to get them to heaven. I don't see how anybody makes it believing that if they mess up or they slip up or they do one thing wrong that they're going to lose their salvation. I don't see how they sleep at night, because the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. And when the devil creeps up on my shoulder and he says, hey, you deserve hell. You remember what you did? You call yourself a preacher? You want to do something for God? Look at all these things that you've done. I can look to him and say, hey, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm glad for the truthfulness of the Word of God. We go back to that 119th Psalm, and the Bible tells us the psalmist is writing, and he says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Thou continue this day according to the ordinances, for they are thy servants. Amen. Listen to this. Listen closely. When he says ordinance, when he says statutes, when he says law, when he says words, he's talking about this Bible that you have on your lap. I want you to listen to what it's saying right here. He says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precept, for with them thou hast quickened me. You know where the Bible says we're born not of that which is incorruptible, but that which is incorruptible, the word of God that liveth and abideth forever? That's in the Old Testament too, right there. Amen. He says, I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end to all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Amen. And I believe the more that you love God, I believe the more that you love the holy things of God, the more that you love the church, the more that you love your neighbor, the more you're going to love that book right there. Amen. The more you're going to love the Word of God. I tell you what, I love the Word of God tonight because it is full of grace and truth. Amen. He said, he told his disciples in John chapter number 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth, the Word, the Lord Jesus, they're one and the same. You go back to John chapter number 1. The Word was made flesh. Amen. The eternal decrees of God. God in all His holiness. God in all His glory manifest. Like I mentioned this morning in Ephesians, the Bible said the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Christ. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people. For His merciful kindness, there's the tenderness, is great toward us. The truth of the Lord, there's His truthfulness. And last but not least, I'll finish with this thought right here. Endureth forever. Endureth forever. I want to praise the Lord tonight for His timelessness. Amen. God, there's no expiration date on the King James Bible. Amen. There's no expiration date on the Word of God. There's no expiration date on God's love. There's no due dates. There's no probationary dates. There's none of that. God doesn't take any sick days. Amen. There's never any shortage of power. We preached about it this morning. Elisha, he knew the wealth of God's power. Hey, there's never going to be a power shortage with God. Amen. He said, all power is given unto me. No corruption. He's pure. He's holy. He's righteous. He's God. And He's timeless. Amen. I'm glad I never have to worry about the truth of the Word of God running out. Amen. You know, I'm saved, so I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me, and I'm sealed until the day of redemption. And when I go to heaven after that day of redemption, and I'm glorified, and I'm with the Lord, and He makes all things new, and He creates that new heaven and that new earth, we're not going to be there just a really long time. You know that, right? It's not going to be just a long-term type of thing. I'm talking about forever. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of years down the road, we will have not even scratched the surface of eternity. Brother, that ought to do something in your soul. If that don't bless you, your blesser is broke, because I'm talking about a merciful, holy, righteous God who's tender, who's truthful, and who's timeless. Amen. I had somebody ask me one time, they said, what do you believe God looks like? What do you think God looks like? And I answered him, I told him, I said, well, I said, John saw God. And he wrote it the best way he could. You go over into Revelation chapter number 4, and that's the best thing I have to give you is what the Word of God says. Amen? And he said, and y'all forgive me if I don't quote this correctly, but he said, and he was to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone. That's what he said about it. That's what he said about God. And he said an emerald rainbow shone round about, went round about the throne of God. Something interesting, if you look it up, in the Old Testament, that whole book's about Jesus, amen? The Old Testament's about Jesus too. If you look in the Old Testament, you see all these wonderful pictures of Christ, and you begin to study in the book of Leviticus, and you begin to study about the priesthood and all the statutes and all the things that God expected from the workers who were dealing with the things of God at that particular time in history, you'll know that God was very specific with his instructions to them. And when the Bible talks about with those priests, it talks about a breastplate that they would wear when they would put on their priestly garments. And there were 12 stones on that breastplate that would represent the 12 tribes of Israel and represent many other things you come to find when you study in the Bible as well. But you go back in there and you look at that scripture and you look at those stones, and I want you to look at the order that they fall in. Look at the order that they're mentioned in. And every time you find it, you'll find that the first one mentioned is a jasper. And the last one mentioned is the sardine. So what I believe God is trying to say right there is from the beginning to the end, amen, it's all about him. And when John saw that, when John saw God and he saw him on the throne, he said he was to look upon as a jasper and a sardine. He was saying, that's the best way I can describe it. I can't explain it any better than that right there. But he's saying, all I know is that is him. And the Bible says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. The Bible says he is the first and the last. Before there was ever time, before there was ever creation, there was God and his word in eternity alone. I'm glad that I never have to worry about an absent God. Amen. I like the way he told Moses. Moses said, who am I going to tell sent them? Or who am I going to tell them sent me? And he said, tell them I am that I am. I'm glad tonight that he is. He is, he still is, and he always be. Amen. He always will be. He's timeless. Amen. The Bible calls him in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We're talking about a timeless God, a righteous God, a holy God. And the psalmist, he didn't have a whole lot to say, but what he had to say was important, I believe. Amen. Hey, we got everything in the world to praise God about tonight if we're saved in here. God could not be any better than he is. And that's the truth. We couldn't dream up anything better in our minds, in our greatest imaginations. People have tried for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. They'll cut gods out of stone. They'll make gods out of wood. They'll build gods out of mud. But those gods have ears that can't hear. They have eyes that can't see. They have hearts that can't feel. Amen. Hey, we have a high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. The Creator God of the universe cares about us in here tonight at Crossroads Baptist Church in Ashland, Kentucky. God cares about us. He wants to be in here. Amen? That's encouraging to me. I'm glad that God would want anything to do with me. Amen? I'm excited to know the Lord. I'm excited to know that I'm saved. Amen? And I look to the Scriptures and I'm glad that I find these truths in the 117th Psalm. And when the psalmist cries out, no wonder he cries out, no wonder he starts it off the way he does. He says, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Have you ever just felt like that in your soul? You've ever been so overwhelmed and full of the love of God that you thought to yourself, I just want to praise God. Amen. I'm glad he's a tender God. I'm glad he's a truthful God. I'm glad he's a timeless God. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? There's nobody looking but me. I promised you I wouldn't keep you long, and I'm in it. But I do want to ask you to hear tonight. I would hate to leave here not knowing that everybody in here is 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven. And if that's you and you're in here and you say, preacher, if I'm being honest, I don't know for certain that if I died, heaven would be my home. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand and say, pray for me? I don't know for sure if I died, heaven would be my home. We can take a Bible, we can show you. It's as simple as believing the gospel and trusting Christ by faith. It's that easy. You can have everything I preached about tonight. You can have the fullness of God in your heart if you'll simply come to Him by faith. I wonder if there'd be anybody in here this evening to say, preacher, I've got family members, I've got neighbors, I've got co-workers that are unsaved and on their way to hell, and I want you to pray that God will get a hold of them before it's too late. Would you just raise your hand? All over the house, God bless those hands. I wonder how many we'd have in here this evening. Let us say, preacher, I'm glad that I have a merciful God. I'm glad I have a tender God and a timeless God, and I'm glad that I have a truthful God. Amen. How many of you just raise your hand as a word of testimony and say, thank God I'm saved. Amen. God bless you. With that being said, I'll dismiss us in prayer. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the folks that you brought out tonight at Crossroads Baptist Church. And God, I pray that as we go our separate ways, Lord, tonight, that before we pillow our head, that we'd find some place somewhere just to get alone, just to thank you. God, not just for all that you've done and not just for all the great things you bless us with, but God, just for who you are, Lord. We thank you for who you are. Lord, you couldn't be any better, Lord. There's none greater or mightier or holier. And God, Lord, we love you and we thank you so much that you first loved us. And we thank you for Christ and what you did on the cross, God. And Lord, we thank you for the precious blood that was shed to cover our sins. Lord, we don't deserve a bit of it, but God, you're so wonderful and we thank you for your love. Lord, I pray that you keep us safe to the next appointed time that we can gather together. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate you guys.